Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show that focuses on people and organizations making a big difference in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us right now is the CEO of Skate Wealthy, Dean Bonio. How you doing, Dean?
Man, today I am phenomenal. I feel joyful, ecstatic, and I am ready to change the world.
That is fantastic. I had the pleasure of meeting you a few weeks ago, and I was really excited to talk to you and have you on the show because you're doing something completely different, but it's so state-of-the-art, it's so current, it's so tech-savvy, so social media, and this is also about skateboarding. Can you talk about Skate Wealthy and what this nonprofit's all about?
Yes, absolutely. So Skate Wealthy, actually, I guess I have to take you back to the beginning. Growing up, I really liked watching like Tony Hawk, and I played all the video games. And in fourth grade, my mom actually got me a skateboard. She got me a little fish one from Walmart. and it was just fun, you know. So I would ride on that in our apartment. We grew up in Arlington, Texas, and one day I was going down this hill in our apartment. Well, I didn't do it well. I fell, and I landed on my face, and I lost almost all the skin on my face.
Oh, man.
It was rough. I had to go to school the next day. I had Vaseline all over my face. It looked like someone is just, like, taking patches of skin off my face. Like, everyone gave me a horrendous look. But that healed up, so that stopped me from skateboarding, and then fast forward a couple years later, this was in eighth grade. I was walking home from basketball practice in the same apartment, and I see my buddy Clay out there skateboarding. And I was like, man, I used to skateboard. I used to know how to kick, so let me try to do a kickflip. And so I thought it was going to take 5 minutes. Ended up being 3 hours, and then I had to leave because my mom called me planned for dinner. And I was like, man, I didn't land that. And so the next day, I'm like, all right, I'm definitely going to do this. And so I tried it, you know, 10 minutes turns into an hour, same thing happens. Finally, on the third day, even after like 2 hours, I finally landed. And just to be like, I'm competitive. I was like, you know what? I did not just put in 3 days of work to land this one trick to stop. And so I just decided to keep going from there. And it's been a beautiful journey. I've kind of like the beginning.
So that's how you started skateboarding. A lot of people love to skateboard. And there's all kind of skateboard parks all over Dallas-Fort Worth and all over the country. And you mentioned Tony Hawk. He's just a legend. He's bigger than the sport itself. With that being said, when did you come up with the idea of Skate Wealthy? And tell me how long you've been doing that.
So that's another story. So I have to kind of take you back to the beginning.
Sure.
When I was 16, my mom passed away. And we were very poor. And so there was no, like, insurance. We didn't have anything to do for her. I mean, we were just kind of stuck. And so what ended up happening is that Alliance Skate Park, man, I have to give a huge shout out to Mark Lowy, the owner, and Victor over at Alliance. Those guys run a phenomenal program. They've done something that I've never seen them do before, and I don't think they've done it ever since, but they actually threw an event called Help Us Help Dean. And that one event, man, the community came out. My friends from school, skaters, people who just heard the story and just want to support. And it can almost make me tear up right now because, you know, they were able to help us send our mom back to Kenya. You know, we're Kenyan-American. Both of our parents are from Nairobi. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I really felt the impact of community And I'd say that's where the birth of, like, my passion and love, even though I've been skateboarding for probably, like, 3 to 4 years at that point, really came from. And so what happened next is, you know, just a season of adversity. Fast forward a few more years later, I actually, so this is a cool story, but you're speaking about the skate park. My friends and I, we actually got to participate, and there were some of the founding members of CRI, which is Cody Rocamontes Incorporated. So Cody, you know, my best friend Ricky, man, I love Ricky to death. Cody was one of his best friends, and he got hit by a car and died. We'd been telling the city of Arlington that we need a skate park built, skateboarding's growing, we don't have anywhere safe to skate, and they ignored us. The challenge on our end is that we're 13, 14, 15, maybe some of us are 16. It's illegal to skate in front of businesses. We're getting tickets. We can't even get a job, so it doesn't make any sense. But once Cody died, unfortunately, it put the spotlight back on the situation. So his parents stepped up, Lori Rowe stepped up, and they founded Cody Rocamontes Incorporated, which mission was to get a public skate park built in Arlington for free. And so the city of Arlington basically told us, raise $10,000, we'll match it, and we'll build a park. Well, we failed. And so ironically, you know, Tony Hawk, here he goes again, the foundation stepped up. They donated the first $10,000. The city of Arlington matched it. And in Arlington, Texas, off of Randall Mill and Fielder, you'll see Cody Rocamontes Memorial Skate Park. And if you read the little pillar there, you'll see a picture of him, the story. And then there's a little picture of, like, me and all my friends there that really got to help build together. But, you know, not only were we able to accomplish that, there are two more public skate parks in Arlington, Texas, the largest one being Vandegrift. And in Vandegrift, this is where the story gets interesting. In 2017, the skate park we built and designed, you know, my love, like my second home, I broke my ankle there. Boom. Life changes again. I lost my job. I lost my car.
Oh, no.
Lost my apartment. Of course, I didn't have any insurance or anything like that. And I was just defeated, man. That was actually probably the worst season of my life. You know, I was living in terrible conditions, broken ankle, no running water, just trying to make it happen. You know, I'm so thankful to my brother, Seth, man. Mm-hmm. He really, like, stepped up and, like, took care of me. I'm like, I love that guy to death. But, you know, what I had to learn, because I'd always made money physically, whether I was working at a restaurant, usually managing, or, you know, whatever the job may be, is how do I make money if I can't physically use my body? And so shortly after that, once I was able to walk again, you know, I threw an event because I had this idea. I got into the finance industry. So there's so many interesting stories.
Oh, I'm loving this. As a matter of fact, before you go any further and we get to the finance industry, so I want to get this straight. So you reached out to the Tony Hawk Foundation. So the Tony Hawk Foundation actually helped create a skate park in Arlington. That is impressive.
Absolutely. They are phenomenal. The skateboarding community is phenomenal. It's just it's challenging to create a living in it.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. And the thing I find so interesting, there's so many people who skate. And it's kind of like it's its own bubble. It's its own community. And it's not only, you know, across the country and DFW in particular, but it's global. Like I said, Tony Hawk is a legend. He's bigger than the sport, and there are so many people. It's kind of like saying, okay, I'm a gamer. And then you find out, oh, wait a minute, you play Fortnite? Oh, I play, and you just go through I play Madden. Or, you know, you go on and on and on, and you find out, wait a minute, there's a lot of people who relate and communicate on that particular level. So let's go back to the financial part about it, because you said all of a sudden you got a financial education.
Yeah, so I threw an event. It was my first company. It was, you know, we threw an event, and the idea was to bring financial literacy into skateboarding. My now business partner and mentor came up to me, Arnold, and he was like, man, this is such a cool event. It was actually at a Lion skate park. They were doing a cool event. I think it's called Mondays Don't Suck. But, you know, he was like, do you have a financial planner? I was like, no. I was like, what's that? That sounds cool. And so he invites me to the office to meet his financial planner. And when I walk in, it's this gentleman who's also my mentor and other business partner, Conrad. And I was like, Conrad, I know Conrad. I met Conrad many years before I used to work at this place called Cowboys Customs in Arlington, and he walked in there to get his car fixed. And so he was sharing with me what he does. We exchanged numbers, and I never really thought twice about it. And so we ran into each other a few years later, and he did what we call a wealth checkup. And he was able to show me my finance in a way that was fun, easy to understand, and it just made so much sense to me. By the time the meeting ended, I was so thankful. I was like, man, here, I have like, I think I have like $60 taken. He was like, no, don't take it. And I was like, wait, what do you mean? You just helped me out so much. You don't want money? And he was like, nope, I'm good. Just keep this. This is for you. This is for you to understand. And I was like, that's wild. Well, how do you make money? And he was like, I mean, I help people. I'm a business consultant. I build companies, and I help businesses and families with their personal and business finance. And I was like, interesting. I want to do that. He was like, do it. I was like, for real? He was like, yeah. So I literally quit my job a week later at the call center, and I just literally started following him. And this was in 2017. I had no money, no experience. I just knew he was really smart. He had his demeanor is just, he's just the next level leader. He is, the epitome of top tier entrepreneur. But, you know, so 2017, we get into business consulting. He introduces me to, our practice company. And then from there, he basically asked me, like, Dean, do you trust me? I said, yes. I'm only 3 months in. You know, I'm building big. I'm winning awards. We're helping families. He introduces me to a gentleman by Christian Collada. Now, Christian is the co-founder of our current platform, and this is a very strong platform that we founded in 2018. You know, we have a national team at this point. So, Christian, Arnold, Conrad, these have been the mentors in my life that have helped guide me even through the worst seasons of my life. I mean, I've been through so much homelessness, no money, just no vehicle. Every one of those things, like, I've lived it for, like, the past, like, 4 to 5 years. All while building as an entrepreneur. And so the wildest thing is, like, it's the craziest feeling in the world to call yourself an entrepreneur, yet you're struggling financially. Am I a young professional? Yes. Did I need more guidance? Yes. Should I follow the system? Yes. But I didn't. I'm kind of arrogant. I like doing things my own way. I've given Conrad.
Some of the most successful people in the world do things their own way, and they're successful because they think outside the box.
No, absolutely. You know, I've literally given Conrad hell, you know. So I don't know if I can say that or not, but
you did. It's okay.
He stuck by me this whole time, and he's still there for me. And I was actually talking to him this morning. And so what we've been able to build is very powerful. You know, we've been able to generate six-figure earners, some a little bit more. And it's just really, really powerful. So how to skate wealthy start. I knew that one day eventually, because I've been skateboarding for over 12 years now, or about 12 years. I was sponsored for 4 years. Some of my friends are the best of the best in the world, literally. Mm-hmm. Skateboarding is huge. It's actually, if I remember correctly, don't quote me, but the fifth most participated sport in the world, only behind football, baseball, basketball, and soccer, not necessarily in that order. And you would think that someone would have had the idea because of how dangerous it is to help skateboarders make money, or, like, you know, help them with insurance. So you would think there would be insurance for skateboarders. There's just not.
You know what? You just struck a nerve with me. You're right. It's a very dangerous sport. That's why it's so impressive when skateboarders do the different acts or stunts or the moves that they do, and people do get hurt. Can you talk about the various injuries that the guys sustained? You said you broke your ankle. People know about Dak Prescott with the Dallas Cowboys breaking his ankle. That's kind of like a common occurrence in the skateboard world, right?
It happens all the time. You know, my best friend Jordy, you know, he's a phenomenal entrepreneur as well. He's broken, I believe, both arms, both legs, like, or both ankles, like, twice.
Wow.
He's chilling now. Now he likes to play golf. You know, he still skates. He always says he'll beat me in a game of skate. I really doubt it. If you hear this, Jordy, we can run it for $100.
So to get back to the injuries, you realize, wait a minute, all these different skaters are getting hurt all the time. You've actually lived it, and there's not any real insurance. This is not like the NFL, NBA, or Major League Baseball where, oh, we've got, you know, these things. We got to get you back out there, and we got insurance, and we got programs, we got trainers. You guys because, like you said, it's like you're on your own. It's almost like you're golfers. You're on your own, and you have to come up with these things, and you have to rehab alone. Can you talk about that process and then how you decide to put one and one together and come up with two?
I mean, so for me, it's like it's just the occurrence of tragedies that happened to me twice, which I said this has to stop. Like, the common theme which really ruined my life was insurance. Whether it was my mom dying or me breaking my ankle, and there was a $10,000 hospital bill I couldn't afford, so I opted out to not get surgery, and I literally just prayed to God that my ankle would heal and align perfectly. Like, wow. I really wished for it. I really prayed, and it happened, and so I'm very thankful. And so, you know, I can still feel it a little bit, but there's virtually no pain. I can run. I can squat. I can jump. I'm just extremely grateful. But, you know, what's interesting about skateboarding is that skateboarders are actually primed to be top entrepreneurs because of the – it's just the way it's structured. In skateboarding, it takes years of discipline, failure, 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 failure. Eventually, you land, and you're like, wow, that felt good. So if we're using sales as an analogy, you're getting rejected, rejected, rejected. You close the deal. Wow, that felt great. What did I do right? What did I do wrong? And then you go out and you try it again. You learn consistency. You learn dedication. You learn hard work. And more than anything, you have to persevere to get your personal goal. These are all traits that any human on this planet, if they align with, will help them progress in life. And so that's really, really powerful. So if we're able to transfer this mentality of the same discipline and consistency it takes to become a great skateboarder and to entrepreneurship, that is really powerful, and that's the core of our program, being able to stretch people's mind, expand their vision, and allow them opportunities to change their life. You know, the programs that we offer are 100% complimentary. It doesn't cost skaters money to get a wealth checkup. Our financial professionals have over 10 years in the industry, and they are absolutely the best of the best. That's just one half of it. The part where it gets better is that we are able to help Skate, like, our goal at Skate Wealthy right now is to distribute $1 billion in government grant money to the business owners in skateboarding. I have a contract with the number one company in the United States that's helped 13,000 companies in the last year and distribute about $1.5 billion of government tax fee grant money.
Wow.
That is huge. Does it cost me or a skateboarder money to also join me on this mission? No, it doesn't. On average, we're finding $100,000 to $10 million for business owners in the form of a grant. So where this gets even more unique is that although I personally focus on the skateboarding market, I have a team of professionals. We have musicians. We have financial professionals. We have soon a doctor that are all participating in this program because there's 6 million companies in the United States that qualify, whether they know it or not, and we can help all of them. And so instead of competing against other skateboarding companies and creating more competition, I said, why not support entrepreneurship, be able to put money back into the industry, and create more companies together? And so essentially, we're just a government aid financial service group. And our goal is to empower the average skateboarder into infinite possibilities. So to wrap that up simply, all we do is provide the tools and resources skateboarders need to become financially independent. I have very stable and very serious platforms supporting this. It's just about a matter of spreading the mission, which is why I'm so grateful and thankful to talk to you, because we can help skateboarders in all 50 states.
This is amazing. This is mind-blowing the way you broke this down. It's about knowing where the grants are and then giving the skateboarders who have that startup mindset. They have that entrepreneurial mindset anyway. In other words, they're not afraid of failure because they never quit.
It's very simple. And yes, we are either giving away money or we're protecting your money and your assets. A lot of skateboarders and people in general do not understand how a trust works, how a will works, how life insurance works. For $20 a month, I can help someone right now. Let's say they're 18 years old. I'm pretty sure if they have a job, they can afford $20. That will make them worth let's say, $200,000 to $400,000. If they're a skateboarder, I would consider you are now skating wealthy. And so if you do, like these concepts are so simple and we understand them so well, but the goal is to help skateboarders understand, because skateboarding is the most severely neglected, in my opinion, market in the sports world. I know so many professional skaters that end up burned out, crashed out, drugs, alcohol, prostitutes, you name it. You hear the stories all the time. The skate shops are struggling. What we're able to do is not only help our friends and family receive a tax-free grant, even if you just want to work on your personal finance, we're able to help that too, but we have the best of the best supporting us. And so this is very unique. We are the first of our kind, but we're here to stick around because, honestly, you know, life's going to happen to me and the good Lord's going to call me home before I stop helping friends and family. Skateboarding has given me my life, but it's also taken everything from me. And so I'm very dead set on, you know, helping as many people as possible.
I can tell. We're talking to Dean Bonio. He's the CEO of Skate Wealthy, and Skate Wealthy is an organization that's taking care of a lot of different skateboarders, but more importantly, a lot of young people who need an opportunity to be entrepreneurial, but more importantly, to take care of their finances so they don't become burdens to not only their family, but to their communities. So in the skateboard community, the skateboard world, the skateboarders out there, how do you guys interact? I'm going to simplify this thing. I know you guys text each other. I know you guys meet up at the skate parks. And I know it's always weather related. But, I mean, it's almost like I want to try to paint a picture for all of our listeners here. It's kind of like if you're a minor league or little league baseball player or parents who have kids that play baseball or pick up basketball, you know, in the gyms and or even, you know, youth football. It's the same kind of group. It's the same kind of camaraderie. Am I wrong? Please kind of paint some pictures for a typical day in the life of a skateboarder or a bunch of guys who skate.
So your analogy to, like, let's say parents sitting down on a soccer field to watch their children.
There you go.
Because what the common denominator is the soccer ball, and everyone is there to support that. So whether you're an athlete or you're a parent or even if you're a coach, the soccer ball and the sport is what brings people together. The skateboard itself is what brings the community together, but the skateboarding community is very tight-knit, and it's very strong, but it's very closed off. You know, skateboarding was in the Olympics last year for the first time. It was supposed to happen in 2020, but COVID happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is crazy, but the entire U.S. Olympic team just actually quit. And the reason is, from my personal opinion, I might be wrong, I think there's too much corporate stuff going on, and skateboarders do not do well with corporate, you know? There's companies, like, skateboarders support skateboarders, but you have to be a pure skater. It doesn't matter if you're good or bad. That's not the point, but it's the love of the sport. We all love skateboarding with our whole heart. So if you are a non-skateboarder, for example, and you come in and you want to launch a company, and, I mean, there's been a lot of big – Nike is one of the people that jumped into the game, and now Nike skateboarding is huge. And it's generally accepted, but it's extremely hard to be accepted in the community if you're not a pure skateboarder. And so the reason why it's so important that I share this message is because there are a lot of people who know me in skateboarding. I have a very large network, and I'm proud of that. And these are literally some of my best friends in life, my brothers, my sisters, and we've had so many adventures. We've traveled, we've partied, we've been in the hospital crying because we broke stuff. We've been through everything together. What can I do next, you know? If no one is going to help them, I'm going to help them. So I've taken 4 years to develop personally, practicing, building, learning how to present this information in a way that is fun, simple to digest, and that will be very impactful. And we got started less than 2 months ago, and here we are. You know, we have a team of over 20 people with us as well. So we're just getting started, but we're ready to take off.
This is an incredible story. And you mentioned the mindset of the Summer Olympic team, the skateboarders all just quit. Your mentality, the mentality almost seems like the U.S. skiers, the downhill skiers. skiers and skateboarders seem to be like-minded to me. I'm not saying that the U.S. Olympic ski team quit because they didn't, but I'm just talking about the mentality of you got a, just a different mindset than a lot of people, and it's kind of close-knit like skiers. You know, skiers have their village. You guys have a park. I mean, I can go on and on and on. The challenge of the mountain, the challenge of the rink. I mean, I can go on and on and on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, the most important thing, we're about to kick off our marketing campaign. This isn't about selling because it literally doesn't cost people money to participate. And, like, our main mission is to give away this grant. But it's the financial literacy.
Yes.
We can help people with things like rollovers, annuities, 403Bs. We actually have a phenomenal program. We're one of the last vendors in the state of Texas. It's called the Education Retirement Program that has access to every school district in the state of Texas, and we can help teachers with their retirement planning, things like 403Bs, et cetera. And so, you know, sometimes when our professionals sit down with these teachers and, you know, we show them in reality what they're going to be receiving versus what they're expecting, they leave in tears because no one told them or no one
tried specifically
they had no idea. Enough. They had no idea. So that is an extremely powerful program, and with skateboarders participate with us in that, we generate leads for them. All they have to do is go through the training and help clients. And so there are so many avenues that we can help people, but before we help them, we have to educate them. And so that's why, you know, we're kicking off our podcast, and I really got to give a shout out to Cody Harvey here. Cody Harvey is the CEO of Breakout and co-founder of Connected. Breakout's going to be the audio app of the future. It is a phenomenal app. They are building it to where you can monetize for creating content. And we're launching our podcast exclusively on Breakout. You know, there's other major stars in there like Brad Lee, Cindy Stumpo, and I can name a couple of others. But, you know, Cody's got something phenomenal going on. And next month, according to plans, if things don't change, but I need to get an update, we're going to be having an event on the 5th. We're looking for 20 entrepreneurs for breakfast, 20 entrepreneurs for lunch to share more about Breakout and all of the different benefits and how it can benefit you as an entrepreneur. And one of the people that will actually be there as well is Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank.
Yes, Kevin O'Leary. Everybody's familiar with him and Mark Cuban and all the sharks of Shark Tank.
Yep, and so, I mean, Connected, which is Cody's the co-founder, that's the third fastest growing company in Indiana. It's the Inc. 5000 company. I've had the privilege to learn from him. He's taken time to talk to me, and he takes time to talk to everyone that joins the platform, you know. There's other competing platforms out there, but there's not one like Breakout just because of the heart of the owners, and the owners are transparent, and they're accessible, which is amazing for an app like this. But if you are a serious entrepreneur and you would like to be invited to this event, go to Skate Wealthy Instagram, exactly how it sounds, and DM me Breakout. But for all of the information I've shared, I know I've shared a lot, but if you simply just go to Skate Wealthy's Instagram, you'll find all the information I just shared. And if you're a business owner, if you have five or more W-2 employees, I would highly encourage you to apply for the grant. It does not cost you money to apply. And worst case scenario, you're in the same situation without a grant.
Exactly. It can get no worse. And the thing I love about what you're doing, Dean, is the fact that you're helping people help themselves, because financial literacy makes you no longer a burden to your family, your community. You can help yourself, which means that you're not a burden on society. That's the bottom line. And there's so many people in the world of skateboarding. I love the fact that you're using all the technology at your fingertips, that you're reaching the people in the world that they're in. In other words, you're not sending out a newsletter. Skateboarders are not on newsletters. You're reaching them where they are. And I love the fact that that's what you're doing. You're in people's information bubbles.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's just what it is. You know, you have to meet people where they're at.
Yes. Or they would never know.
Exactly. You know, like, right now, I'm standing outside of Starbucks next to a tree because The devil tried me, and my service cut off 2 minutes before it was supposed to get started.
I knew you were outside because I heard a siren in the background. Just to be totally transparent, I love the interview because I'm like, okay, he's outside. That's what skateboarders do. They're outside.
Oh, yeah, I love being out. I'm outside walking and talking, man. When the body moves, the brain grooves, you know?
Very nice. So is there anything else you want to share with our listeners about the Skate Wealthy? Because I think what you're doing is a phenomenal program, and it's helping so many people. And I can't say it enough. I think the key to everything is financial literacy. I think that's the one part of education that's not being heightened or addressed, you know, in all our school systems. And I think what you're doing is a phenomenal job reaching the skateboarders, at least that particular part of our society, where they need it most, especially with their health possibility, benefits, and the whole nine yards.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I love what you guys are doing. And so is there any other thing you want to...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You want to close with it and let people know where they can reach out and where you might be as far as some of these skate parks locally in the next couple of weeks?
Yes, we will be having an official launch at Vandergrift Skate Park in Arlington. We're still working on the details for that, and that'll be posted Skate Wealthy. But what's really important for people to know is, and this is just something, because I want to highlight someone really special in my life who shared my life recently. I was in the field working on my skateboard, going business to business, proving this concept works. And I ran to this guy working on the field, just looking like a beast. I mean, he's shredded, and he's like a little bit older than me, to be modest. And so I'm walking right by him, and the pop occurred in my head, and I was like, you know what? This guy's fit. He's definitely, you know, a little bit older than me. He might be an entrepreneur. Let me open my mouth. And so I turned around. I was like, you're a champion. I love the fact that you're motivated and you're keeping your body fit. Really quickly, I'm the CEO of Skate Wealthy. I'd like to share with you what we do. And so I pitch him, and he says, what's the next step? This gentleman is Mark Brewer, the owner over at Oaks Church in Red Oak. He's now a mentor and a friend.
Wow.
And 2 weeks ago, I rededicated my life to God in front of the entire congregation. And so for me, faith is the most important thing. And a lot of the financial professionals we're with and a lot of people we're interacting with do believe in faith. Now, I have all sorts of people that are in our program, and not everyone subscribes to that. But, you know, whether you believe in God or not, whether you have faith or not, is not necessarily important to me. What's important to me is upholding this principle of treating your neighbor the way you want to be treated. And because I live off of these morals and principles, it is very easy for me to talk to anyone, regardless of your age, your sex, your background, anything. And it's really, really powerful. So, like, for me, thank you so much, Mark Brewer, for praying for me every single day. And I'm excited to do the right thing with the right people.
Dean, it's been a pleasure having you on. We will check back in with you again because Skate Wealthy is going places, and I love the fact that you're taking care of a lot of skateboarders and a lot of people under the age of 30 with financial literacy, but even anybody of any age who needs a little help and knowing that those grants are there to be taken advantage of. Thank you so much, Dean.
Absolutely. And one last thing. We do have donations available. Our services are complimentary. We're on PayPal. If you would like to donate to support the cause, you can read the information on our Instagram, but you can PayPal Skate Wealthy, and we would really appreciate that.
And joining us now is Miss Danetta Bailey. Danetta Bailey, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Danetta Bailey is the CEO and founder of Noggin Educational Foundation, and I like the name Noggin because it's like use your noggin, right?
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about what you do. You guys are trying to help underserved community kids achieve and reach their financial literacy and their education. Can you talk about how you conceived Noggin Educational Foundation?
So it's an interesting story. I actually got a radio television degree from the University of Houston. And so I was far from education. I had a video production company, and I was happily doing that. Meanwhile, my husband started teaching, and his first teaching assignment was in a very under-resourced area and a very under-resourced school. And we always tell the one ream of paper story. And basically, he was given one ream of paper to teach 125 students, eighth grade math for the entire semester. Not the 6 weeks, the semester. And then his second teaching assignment was in a very affluent area in town, the polar opposite situation. Parents were super involved. Students were very motivated. And he had a classroom budget of, I think he said $1,500, just of his own, that he didn't even get the opportunity to spend because the Office Depot truck pulled up to the school every week and filled them up with everything that they needed.
Talk about the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah, it was exactly that. And so I'm watching this situation over the years, and it really just started to get to me. And, you know, I didn't know anything about starting a nonprofit. I really do believe God just tapped me on the shoulder and opened my eyes and said, do you see this? And you see this, and you can, and you should do something about it. So that really motivated me to be able to provide the out-of-school help that actually we had been helping our more affluent parents with. So David, my husband, and I had started a for-profit tutoring company, and it was just to make ends meet. I had a small video production company, and he's a teacher, so we weren't bringing in a lot of income. But in college, he tutored. And so I was like, you know, let's start a little tutoring company. And so obviously the clients that we had were parents who could afford to invest in their kids' education. But occasionally we had parents that would reach out to us that we knew couldn't afford our services, and we really couldn't afford to give it away for free. And so that was kind of the catalyst for me starting the nonprofit.
Danetta, I like the fact that the website says, at Noggin, we believe that all students, in caps, all students deserve a shot at a bright future. Break down that philosophy and the fact that you're looking at it that way.
Yeah, it really just comes from my experience, or my husband's experience with his students. You know, we had the tutoring company that I mentioned, and we were working with parents who could really afford to invest in their kids' education. They had expendable income. And my heart really went out to the students that he served during his first teaching assignment. And, you know, we know that low-income students sometimes are 3, even 4 years behind their peers in math and reading, and they don't have the same kind of opportunity. Summer is when a lot of the achievement gap widens, mm-hmm. because many students don't have the opportunities that maybe my kids, your kids have to advance during the summer. All students really experience summer learning loss, but low-income students in the summertime don't have the opportunity to do camps and enrichment and tutoring and things like that. And one of the things that I realized from just observing my husband over the years with these two groups of kids is that there's not really much difference in the students that he worked with.
Mm-hmm.
Each kid has purpose. Each kid has talent. Each kid could have a bright future, but there was a vast difference in the resources that were afforded to them. And so that's really where that came from. We really believe, because everybody has the opportunity or should have the opportunity to excel and to exceed. And that's why we believe that all students really deserve a shot at a bright future.
So when you first started, let's talk about the challenges you had. What was the greater challenge, the fundraising part of it, or the fact that you tried to reach the kids who weren't getting the better education or being able to have the opportunity to learn at the same level as some of the more affordable educated kids? Can you talk about those challenges when you first started?
I mean, the fundraising for sure was the biggest challenge that we had to overcome. We had a for-profit business, and actually at that point we had 2 for-profit businesses, and we knew nothing about the nonprofit sector.
Mm-hmm.
And I always said, even though I was a business owner, I hated sales. I hated to have, you know, I never wanted to do Mary Kay or any of those other things, because I didn't ever want to ask people for money, even though that's kind of a better situation when you're giving them something for their money.
Right. I know what you're saying. No one likes that. You put like, you have to have a certain comfort level to be asking or trying to sell it, so to speak. Not everybody's a salesperson.
Sure. Yeah, and I definitely would not have put myself in that category. And so when I was tapped on the shoulder to do this, I was like, okay, I'm going to have to figure out how to get over my fear of the ask. And that first summer, we had decided, or, you know, really it was like in the spring, we had decided we were going to start with our summer math and reading program that's called SPARK. It stands for Summers Producing Academically Ready Kids. Because we realized that so much of the achievement gap is impacted by what happens in the summertime, we decided to start with that, and we needed to raise $10,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
It might as well have been $1 million. But I spoke to a friend of mine who has been fundraising for a while, and she was like, you know, you're going to, at this point, at this stage in your nonprofit, really you need to focus on people who care about you, who trust you, who know you, and you need to ask them for money. You're not trying to go to Target and Walmarts and places like that.
Sure, the major corporations,
at this point. No, you're going to try to go to people who know you and your husband, and are willing to invest in what you do.
And know your heart and know your skill set.
Yes. Yes, and trust us with their money, because they're not getting anything from it.
Mm-hmm.
They are really just, entrusting us to do good with their money. So that's what we did. We just made a list of as many people as we could think of, and got on the phone, told them what we're doing, and asked them. And, you know, we had to really just get over ourselves. So my husband, you know, he has the gift of gab. He has no shyness in him. So it was much easier for him to pick up the phone and call people.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not so easy for me, but I just had to remind myself, you know, I'm not trying to line my pockets with this. This is what I was doing for the betterment of our society at the end of the day, and definitely for the kids. And so we ended up raising $12,000 for the summer that year. And gosh, we learned so many lessons that, you know, I still use today. But that was our biggest challenge. And then also just trying to make the connections to work with the students, because
yes,
we weren't a well-known organization. Nobody knew who we were. And so we had to just hit the streets. And originally, we decided that we would target low-income apartment complexes.
Mm-hmm.
Some of your listeners may not know, but these apartment complexes oftentimes provide lunch and breakfast and a little bit of homework help to students at their clubhouses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Many of these students are food insecure. Right. And so mm-hmm. they depend on the school to
right.
help them eat and things like that. And so these low income apartment complexes usually hire one woman to come in after school and feed the kids and help them with homework. And in the summertime, they come in the morning, eat breakfast, play video games, and then eat lunch and then go back home. And so that was kind of the low hanging fruit for us, because we didn't want to have to find a place, you know, rent a place to do it, and then we didn't want to have to advertise to find kids.
Right.
They already have kids coming to them, so we basically adopted their kids for the summer and worked with them.
How many apartment complexes did you start out with?
We started off with 3 apartment complexes,
mm-hmm.
and I think we did 150 kids that first summer.
Wow, that's impressive. That's a lot of kids, and I'm trying to wrap my mind around all this. And, I mean, what you're doing is amazing work, but I'm trying to like paint pictures in my mind. So you're out there in the summertime, going to different apartment complexes. You're working with the kids who are in these clubhouses, who are there, you know, primarily because, like you said, they don't get 3 square meals a day, and you're actually helping educate them. So you're not necessarily a school. The Noggin Educational Foundation isn't some school where people drop their kids off, or am I wrong on that at this point?
No, we are not. So we have a location in Grand Prairie here in North Texas,
mm-hmm.
and we really just office out of there. But what we do is we go out to different organizations, and we add value to programs that are already existing that may not have an academic component to it.
I see. I love this.
Yeah.
Yeah. In other words, there's programs for kids anyway, and you're like, okay,
mm-hmm.
but there's not an educational piece. And so you guys provide
right.
that part to some of the programs that they're doing, the after-school programs, the aftercare, the gaming, or whatever they're doing with the kids.
Exactly. Exactly. Especially in the summertime, it ends up being a lot of babysitting, right? We're trying to keep the
sure.
kids off the streets. They.
Daycare.
They're trying to keep the kids off the streets and just keep them occupied because their parents are at work. But while they're there, let's give them an hour of math and reading.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting, there were so many challenges that first summer that were super eye-opening. The first challenge is that with this type of program, you don't have a parent coming and dropping them off somewhere, right?
Right.
This, when you're in these apartment complexes, we are competing with your Wii's and your Switches and your basketball courts that are there, the pool,
mm-hmm.
all of this in the apartment complex, the TV that could make them not want to come to this, right? And so what we decided to do was incentivize the kids to come. And they received attendance points for coming. And so if you attended, we gave away a drawing for 5 $5 gift cards to area restaurants.
Oh, very nice.
You know, Whataburgers and places that
mm-hmm.
they can walk to. So if you came, there was a chance that you would get a $5 gift card. And then cumulatively over the summer, the kid who had the most attendance points won an Xbox.
Oh, very nice. There you go.
Yeah.
I love the way you're thinking, because you got to incentivize certain programs, and you're talking about education. It's like, okay, how can I slide some knowledge in on kids who really need this?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And then one of the other challenges that was really unexpected for us was that at one of the apartment complexes, half of our students were evicted halfway through.
Oh, no.
And we got new students. So this is a 6-week program. It's 18 hours. So we actually meet 3 days a week for an hour. And that was something we had not anticipated. But with this demographic, and especially in apartments, there's a lot of moving around.
Yeah.
You know, they're
life
always
happens.
Looking for life happens, you get evicted, or they're looking for, you know, your lease is up and you're looking for a cheaper place.
Mm-hmm.
And so we saw a lot of kids over the summer, but not necessarily always the same kids. So that is definitely a challenge because we want them to get all 18 hours of our curriculum.
Was there any opportunities for follow-up? Because I know it's hard, especially with that demographic, and who knows where they might be moving.
Sure. Yeah, no. And in those early days, we didn't know what we didn't know. And
right.
You know, right now, we're working on building relationships with the students beyond the summer. And we work with kids year-round. We also do, you know, free tutoring. But the summertime kids, those are the most elusive for us because they're not really our kids. They're adopted kids. So following them into their school districts to see how effective the program was is more difficult because we really don't have the authorization to do that sort of thing. So
mm-hmm.
we have people that are working on doing that. And the great thing now is we actually have a great partnership with First Presbyterian Downtown Dallas. And so we've been working with them. I think this is our fifth year that we've been providing our summer program to them. And so now we're doing some things. We're trying to build some things in place so that we can follow them because they actually keep their students throughout the school year.
Okay.
So they're not just a summer program. They work with them year round. So, you know, there's so many lessons learned. We're only 7 years old and we're just, you know, trying to do everything that we can to be effective and to stick with our students as long as possible. But, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, with this demographic, we lose people because
mm-hmm.
they just kind of disappear into the wind, but we're working on it.
But, you know, you're doing this from your heart, and that's the most important thing. And this is what is so important. You actually feel gratification. I always say to a lot of people, you know, educators are up there with first responders to me because it's not like you're paid a lot of money to do this. You're doing this because you love to do it. You get some gratification about helping kids especially educate themselves and make themselves better as they get older. And so I know that's a lot of what you're doing. It's like from your heart. And that's probably why some of those situations where you could quit, you just don't.
Yeah, a nonprofit is, especially building one from scratch, is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
But it truly has been the joy of my life. I wake up every day with purpose. I really do. I'm getting chilled and trying to choke back tears because I really feel so blessed to be able to do this. I really am able to impact people who need the help, the most help by my daily job. I don't have a side gig. There's nothing else that I do. This is what I get to do. And it really is a blessing.
It is a blessing. And again, because you're changing lives, you know, one at a time. And I just want to know when you're able to find out, you know, you've changed some lives or you've helped some kids out over the last 7 years or so. Have you gotten some feedback? I mean, as far as running into somebody that you helped a few years ago or some of the parents, or, I mean, I know in different ways you get feedback, but tell us a story or two.
Oh, gosh. Well, we ask for feedback all the time. So we ask for, you know, our tutoring sessions are generally 12 sessions. So halfway through, we ask them to tell us how things are going. One of the things we have started implementing in the last couple years is wrapping around the families.
Mm-hmm.
At first, we were just kind of throwing services at people. Like I said, we didn't know what we didn't know. But what we have come to understand more clearly is that there are so many things that impact our families that have nothing to do with education, right?
Right.
Illnesses and mental health and finances and just so many things. And so we've really made a concerted effort over the last 2 or 3 years to work with our families and build relationships with them and not just, you know, here's a service and that sort of thing. So we're hearing much more stories than we have in the past. So one of the programs we have is our special education advocacy program. And this program was born out of a need that David, my husband, and I actually had. We have one son that has autism and another one that has that struggled with anxiety and depression, and both of them had services and accommodations at school to try to help them with those issues that were impacting their academics. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a meeting called an ARD at school, and parents that are, your listeners that are listening that have kids in SPED or have learning disabilities know these meetings all too well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a team of people made up of the vice principal, the student teachers, the special education teachers, the diagnostician, and maybe a couple other people. So you go into this room full of people who talk to you in terms that you don't understand. And then the goal of the meeting is to come up with what's called an IEP, an individualized education plan, right? Mm-hmm. And basically this is all of the things that we've decided we're going to do to help this student to succeed and to overcome any kind of special need or learning disability that they have, right? But a lot of times parents go into that those meetings with nothing to bring to the table, without knowing what their rights are, and just it can be super overwhelming. And that was the point that we found ourselves in, is that we didn't know and we're not prepared for these meetings. The great thing, though, is that we are connected. We have a lot of friends that are educators, some that are special education teachers as well. And so we asked a lot of questions, and we eventually started coming to these meetings well-prepared, right?
Right.
But David and I realized, we're like, okay, we're in education. Both of us are in education, mm-hmm. yet these meetings are still hard. I still go to meetings sometimes years later after, you know, that we've been in the special education program, and still don't understand what they're talking about after they've explained it to me three times. So long story short, we really just stepped back and said, how much more are our parents struggling in these meetings? And if you have a child that is low income, you can be 2 and 3 grades behind where you're supposed to be. You add a special need like autism or dyslexia, dysgraphia, any of these things to that, it's really an insurmountable thing to achieve academically. So we started this program. I'm really taking forever to answer that question.
No, this is good information, though, because a lot of people are relating to you because they've been in these situations, whether it's their own kids or themselves or their parents or someone that they know. So, yeah, you came up with a program.
Yeah, so we came up with that program. And I recently was out and about and ran into a lady who said, you're a noggin. And I was like, yes. And she said, oh, my goodness, my husband met you, and he found out about your ARD advocacy program. And the day before, I was up crying about my son because we had an upcoming ARD, and I didn't know what to do. Her son has Down syndrome, and she wanted her son to be in a general population program classroom. So with special needs students, sometimes you are in a special needs classroom with other students that have special needs, and then some students are able to be in, quote, regular classrooms with typical students, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she wanted to make sure her son was in a typical classroom. And there were some other things. But so we came to her right in the nick of time, and she threw her arms around me and started crying and said, thank you so much, because I just really felt alone. And then once I started working with your ARD advocate, I felt supported. I felt like somebody was going to bat for me. And they got what they needed. We really hold our parents' hands. We connect them with a professional we call an ARD advocate. They not only go through all of the paperwork that they already have, so if there's a diagnosis, they look through all the diagnostic information. They listen to their story and say, you know, I think my son may have something, but mm-hmm. I don't know, and we need the school to do an assessment. And so they do all that pre-meeting stuff, and then they attend that ARD, and they really help advocate for the mom or the dad.
This is so fantastic, but this is what it's all about. Do you have something coming up soon that you want people to know about with Noggin Educational Foundation?
Yeah, events or, well, I mean,
sure.
we just finished North Texas Giving Day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on a little bit of a North Texas Giving Day high. So we actually raised $25,400.
Oh, congratulations.
Which is, a new record for us. Thank you. Thank you so much. This is the point of the year. After North Texas Giving Day, we really kind of wind down and start to focus on end of the year giving. Giving Tuesday is a fundraiser that we participate in. And so we will be participating in that. That's November, the week after Thanksgiving. And so Giving Tuesday is really, it's a global event, and it focuses both on giving and on volunteerism. So we'll be doing something for Giving Tuesday, and we're just really looking to end the year strong. We had a goal to reach by the end of the year, and we are well on our way to getting there. And so we just need support from people to get there. One of the things that we are, that's really top of mind and on the top of our list, is we have two board member seats that we're trying to fill.
Okay.
So we have our marketing seat, that the person that'll be over the marketing committee. So if anybody out there has PR, marketing, advertising experience, our goal is to expand our reach, which, you know, we're doing with this show right now. It's incredible, but we want to become a household name, and that'll allow us to serve many, many more students. But we really need somebody that has the strategic skills to be able to get our information out there, both to parents and to people who are interested in being involved and investing in us. And then the other seat on the board that we're looking to fill is our advisory council seat. So that's the person that will be over our advisory council. So that person, we're really just looking for somebody who's connected, who's a people person, who's great at managing a program and building relationships with people. So,
oh, I'm telling you, the opportunities are there. I'm so glad you guys are doing well at this time. And, of course, you're continuing to grow. We're talking with Danita Bailey of Noggin Education, Educational Foundation. Can you tell everybody about the website a little bit? You got a beautiful website. And can you tell them again how they can reach out to you, whether they wanted to volunteer or partner with you again? Because I think it's such a great opportunity.
Thanks. Our website, our main website, is nogginfoundation.org. And there's so many different things on there. You can learn a lot about what we do. We've got testimonials from our great students, parents, and teachers. There's information about how to volunteer with us on there, and resources and even some things for yourself. We've created a SMART goals and growth mindset worksheet that we created it really for students to use, but I find that parents really, really love this tool for themselves. So there's just so many things on our website that are available.
Danita, thank you again for joining us. We have to visit again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Chris.
For sure. I'm Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan. Thank you for joining me. Tune in next week as we focus on other organizations and individuals doing great things here in Dallas-Fort Worth, right here on Better Living. So long, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.